Yesham, unto those only. Sa, the Lord. Esha, the Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Dayayet, does bestow his mercy. Ananta, the unlimited potential. Sarva Atmana, by all means, without reservation. Ashutapada, surrendered soul. Yadi, if such surrender. Nirvyavikam, without pretension. Te, those only. Dustaram, insurmountable. Ajitaranti, can overcome. Cha, and the paraphernalia. Devamayam, diverse energies of the Lord. Na, not. Esham, of them. Mama, mine. Aham, myself. Iti, thus. Di, conscious. Swa, dogs. Shrigala, jackals. Bhakshe, in the matter of eating. Translation. But anyone who is specifically favored by the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, due to unalloyed surrender unto the service of the Lord, can overcome the insurmountable ocean of illusion and can understand the Lord. But those who are attached to this body, which is meant to be eaten at the end by dogs and jackals, cannot do so. Purport. The unalloyed devotees of the Lord know the glories of the Lord in the sense that they can understand how great the Lord is and how great his expansion of diverse energy. Those who are attached to the perishable body can hardly enter into the realm of the science of Godhead. The whole materialistic world, based on the conception of the material body as the self, is ignorant of the science of God. The materialist is always busy working for the welfare of the material body, not only his own, but also those of his children, kinsmen, community men, countrymen, and so forth. The materialists have many branches of philanthropic and altruistic activities from a political, national, and international angle of vision. But none of the field work can go beyond the jurisdiction of the misconception of identifying the material body with the spirit soul. Unless, therefore, one is saved from the wrong conception of the body and the soul, there is no knowledge of Godhead. And unless there is knowledge of God, all advancement of material civilization, however dazzling, should be considered a failure. Translation again. But anyone who is specifically favored by the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, due to unalloyed surrender unto the service of the Lord, can overcome the insurmountable ocean of illusion and can understand the Lord. But those who are attached to this body, which is meant to be eaten at the end by dogs and jackals, cannot do so. Om Jnanachimanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tajmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasvi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Lord Brahma is speaking to his son, Narada Muni. And Lord Brahma is explaining to Narada Muni the glories of Lord Krishna. He said that who can properly explain Krishna's glories? You're dealing with something that is far beyond the greatest minds in the cosmos. Now, what makes it difficult for understanding Krishna? Krishna comes in his Naralila, he's acting like a human being. That is a double-edged reality. Because Krishna acts human-like, it's easy for persons to become attracted to Krishna's pastimes, his sporting, his romancing, his fighting, his childish behavior with his parents. These things all are very sweet or else intriguing to the human beings. But there's a downside to Krishna's Narlila, so to speak. Because he's almost acting human, it can cause persons to misunderstand Krishna to be an ordinary human being. So you have two things happening at once when you hear Krishna's pastimes. They're almost recognizable as human activities. And therefore there's a kind of sweet attraction. But on the other hand, because they're almost human-like, you can make the mistake of thinking Krishna is an ordinary person. Therefore the Lord himself protests in Bhagavad Gita, Avajananti mamudha. Fools deride me when I come to this world. They think that I'm an ordinary human being. They speculate, because everyone we know is ordinary. If Krishna is in this world, he must be ordinary. Actually, the Lord and his incarnations do not enter this material world. They're just visible in this world, but they actually do not enter in the sense that we enter this world. Sometimes the Lord is visible, sometimes not. That's a different way of looking at his avatars. They're not actually within the material world. They're just visible to your vision for some time. Like the sun. Sometimes you see the sun, sometimes not. Now, I guess the sun's not out yet, maybe. You won't see the sun. But that doesn't mean the sun is non-existent. No. The sun is always there, whether you see it or not. Similarly, Krishna is always present, whether you see him or not. Now, understanding Krishna is such a crucial thing that the Lord says, if you can understand the mystery of his appearance in this world and his activities, then he guarantees when you give up the present body, you won't take another body. This is how important it is to understand Krishna and his activities. There's a lot riding on it. Now, people like to understand other people. That's why people like relationships. It's very fascinating for a while and intriguing to get to know someone, another entity, another person. You can explore their qualities. You can try to understand their activities. It's interesting for a while until the people get tired of each other. Now, when we try to understand Krishna, you never get tired. This is the amazing thing about approaching Krishna. The more you try to understand Krishna, the more interesting and ever fresh Krishna becomes. The more you serve Krishna, the more ever fresh devotional services. We may have this fear in rendering devotional service that I'll just do the same thing year after year after year, and the activity, the particular devotional service, will lose its appeal for me. On the spiritual plane, that's actually not so. On the spiritual plane, the more you serve Krishna, the fresher Krishna's service becomes. Now, of course, the practical reality in the conditioned state is that our material senses can become tired of serving Krishna a certain way. But the service itself, that's ever fresh. So when we're doing devotional service, we have two things to deal with at once: our material sense perception of that service and the spiritual reality of that service. So if you can kind of juggle these two perceptions, then you'll go quite far in bhakti. Always remember that at every moment your material senses are perceiving something, and there's also the spiritual reality. Therefore, when we do devotional service, we actually need to constantly pray to Krishna. Please don't let me take my service for granted. This can happen quite easily, that I've been doing the same thing day after day. It looks the same. Therefore, it is the same thing. How do you get beyond that? You pray to Krishna, please allow me to go deeper into your service. Please allow me to get a deeper perception of devotional service. You actually have to push for that a bit. That's why the most successful devotional service is based on heartfelt desire. When you invest your heart into something, it becomes very powerful. Krishna knows that better than anyone, because he's the super soul in everyone's heart. Sarvasya cha hiti sannivishto matasvitya gyanamabhavanam cha. As the super soul, Krishna knows what the power is of your heart energies. You all can remember times when you really put your heart into doing something. Just think about it. When you were really heart invested into a particular activity or relationship. So Krishna, as a super soul, knows all about that. And he wants to see, will you invest at least that same heart energy in his devotional service? Maybe you can think back in your life to times when you really labored very hard for something, struggled very hard for something, went through an intense effort to do something. Now, we at least have to offer that same intensity to Krishna in devotional service. Otherwise, we're cheating. We at least have to give Krishna the same intensity that we gave to material activities. You've got to give that to devotional service. The Lord in the heart is watching. How much are you eager to invest your heart's energies in devotional service? Now, what do you need to do to get that heart into action in bhakti? The fact is that simply by rendering mechanical service, you can make advancement. There's no doubt about that. If you touch fire, whether you know about the fire or not, the fire will burn you. Similarly, you may not know anything about Krishna, but if you render some service, then you'll make advancement. But we want to talk about the most potent advancement, the kind of spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness that will enthrall your heart. Because everyone wants heart satisfaction. This is the thing that we're all hankering for. We want our hearts to just pump with fulfillment. Our hearts want to feel loving exchanges. So if you want that kind of experience in Krishna consciousness, then you must invest that heart in devotional service. Mechanical devotional service won't get you that full heart satisfaction that you're looking for. Now the fact is, quite a few devotees started out just doing mechanical service, but after some time, once they were a little bit purified from that mechanical service, they could perceive the reality that it's time to put my heart into what I'm doing. And that's when bhakti really begins. You can approach bhakti yoga ritualistically, mechanically. You can approach it like a religious belief, and you'll benefit. But the most potent experience from bhakti yoga comes when your heart is full on invested into that service. That doesn't mean fanaticism. When it comes to Krishna, we want to be careful. Make sure you don't do too much for Krishna. When it comes to material life, we just let it all go. When it comes to Krishna, we're a little careful. As if Krishna's going to shortchange us. When it comes to material life, though, very easily, we just plunge 100% into it. You all can remember experiences when you've done that. Trying to enjoy or work experiences in which you just fully got into it. Why is it that we're cautious about Krishna? We're cautious about Krishna because we don't know enough about Krishna. And we're not cautious about the material world because we think we know the material world. Yeah, we know how everything works. Right? We know how human affairs go on. We know how relationships in the material world go on. We're experienced people. We've been around for a few years. This sense of familiarity with the material world is our great enemy. Because actually, the material energy is far beyond our comprehension. What to speak of the spiritual energy? So then, you should ask yourself the question, what produces this sense of familiarity with the material world? I read in the Shastra that even the greatest demigods have difficulty fathoming, understanding the whole cosmos. But why is it that I kind of feel a sense of familiarity and feel at home in the material world? Why is that? That is the effect of Maya. That no matter what kind of abominable situation we have in the material world, we think this is cozy. Lord Kapiladeva speaks about this in the third canto of Bhagavatam. Janturvai bhava etasmin yam yam yona manuvraje. Lord Kapiladeva, the Supreme Personality of God, explains that it is quite astonishing that no matter what kind of situation the living entity is in, no matter how abominable, the living entity is not averse to being in that situation. No matter what type of body, no matter what type of material atmosphere that one takes birth in, there's a feeling of coziness and being at home, familiarity. So when you feel that way, you should understand it's the gift of Maya. How a prisoner feels comfortable in prison. Yes, prison. I've always been here. I'm always meant to be here. What's wrong with being in prison? You don't want that feeling. In fact, there's no harm in feeling uncomfortable in the material world. Don't be ashamed if you feel uncomfortable in the material world. Of course, according to New Age notions, you should just feel that you are the material world is you, and together you and the material world are evolving automatically toward perfection. You're supposed to feel that way. And New Age people don't like it. The Krishna conscious attitude based on Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Dukkalayam Shastratam, this material world is a temporary and miserable place. Sometimes people react, oh, this is negative Hare Krishna talk. The world is what you make it. If you have an attitude of love and you see the beauty in everything, then good things will happen to you and you'll cause good things to happen to others. Now, we are not ashamed to say that we feel uncomfortable in the material world. It's not our home. We are not interested in deriving a feeling of coziness in material existence. In fact, the reality is that we're out of place. The fish out of water. When you're out of place, you're always thinking, how can I get back to my original place? So that is how a devotee feels. Things just aren't right in my current situation because I'm in material existence. Now, once I can understand more about Krishna, I'll have increased motivation to get out of material life. It's not enough simply to come to Krishna consciousness out of distress. Although wherever I go in the world, I ask this question, and it's always the same results. You know how Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, four types of persons approach him, and they all have sukriti. They all have auspicious merit because they're approaching him. The inquisitive, those who want knowledge, those who want prosperity, and those who want knowledge. So wherever I go in the world, I ask devotees, what was your main motive in coming to Krishna consciousness? And a few will say, I was curious about psychic things, mystic things. A few will say, I wanted knowledge. Practically no one says, I came to Krishna consciousness for economic prosperity. And at least 70% of the audience will say, I came because I was feeling distressed. I was fried. I burnt out. All right. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, all those four types are meritorious because they are approaching me. Now, if we're going to go deeper into bhakti and get over this hazard of feeling comfortable and cozy in the material world and taking our devotional service in a familiar way, if we're going to get beyond that, then we have to focus on putting our hearts, investing our heart energies into our service. Then you'll move beyond the level of simply approaching Krishna out of distress. After some years, you're not going to be able to go on in Krishna consciousness just by being here because you were fried in the material world. You have to move on to the positive plane. Although I came, for the most part, because I was distressed, frustrated, burnt out, now I'm staying and moving forward because I'm attracted to Krishna. What your heart is attracted to, you'll put your energies into. And the Lord, as the super soul in the heart, He's watching. When are you going to invest your heart in my service? Once you invest your heart into your devotional service, no matter what it is, then you'll see that service as ever fresh. Krishna will help you to do that in the heart. This is explained in Bhagavatam, fourth canto, that the super soul in the heart, for a sincere devotee who's dedicated to rendering devotional service, that super soul will make you see, allow you to see, everything associated with your service as ever fresh. Never the same thing. Although the materialist will look at your service and say, you've been doing the same thing for 5 years, 10 years. How can you go on like that? But a devotee sees differently. That's why Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, what is night for the devotee is day for the materialist, and vice versa. We have completely different visions. Someone can sweep the floor in the temple 5 years, 10 years, and they're seeing a completely different world than what a non-devotee can ever discern. This is the wonder, the glory of devotional service. Devotional service means teamwork between you and the Lord in the heart. Krishna's watching. When are you going to invest your heart's energies? We know we've got those heart energies. We've done things in our material life in terms of great dedication and struggle and endeavor. Everyone has. We've invested our hearts into achieving things. We've invested our hearts into relationships. We've let it all go at times in our life. Everyone has. So Krishna is watching. When will you do that for Him? This is when bhakti yoga starts to take off. Now, in order to increase our conviction about Krishna, we need knowledge of Krishna. As we all know, it is one thing to understand that God is great, but it is another thing to know details about how God is great. Those details inspire us. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, when you know the mystery of his appearance in this world and the mystery of his activities, then upon giving up the present body, you won't take birth again. Krishna is offering you that inducement because his activities are all infinitely sweet and infinitely attractive. So Krishna is giving a little prodding. Come on, come on. You don't like material misery. You don't like material distress. You don't like material existence. It'll end if you just try to understand me. Now, what reward do you get from trying to understand anyone else? But people like to understand people, without a doubt. In any kind of relationship, people are attracted at first to understand the other person. It's intriguing. Oh, really? You're like that? Oh, interesting. Tell me about your past. Oh. These are your likes. These are your dislikes. Your hopes. Your aspirations. Oh. For a while, it's nice to hear about someone else and how they tick. So you cannot deny that you have this propensity to want to understand others. The common attempt to understand each other, that's explained by Lord Rishabhdev in the fifth canto. Punsastriya mithuni bhavametam teomato hridaya grantamahu. The most common attempt for mutual understanding is attraction between the male and female. They want to understand each other. How does she tick? How does he tick? What's going on inside? This endeavor can take up many years if the relationship lasts. How to understand another person. Now, once we realize we have that urge to understand someone, and you also want to be understood, everyone needs at least a few persons who understand him or her. Then you feel, all right, the whole world can be against me, but if I got a few persons who understand me, I can go on. Now, if we also understand that Krishna is a person, then we'll see that understanding Krishna is our most important quest for relating to someone. Because Krishna is unlimitedly attractive. Therefore, we can have no fear that we'll get to the end of our relationship with Krishna. There's always that fear in dealing with a limited person. It's kind of good now. It's kind of interesting now. But how long can it go on, you know? It's tasting the sugar now, but how soon will I get to the bottom of the barrel? It's always like that. You have this fear in the back of your mind. Because everything in material existence is ruled by the time factor. You see, you've got to understand what's spoiling all the fun in the material world. It's time. Even when you think you found something relishable, time takes the taste away. So, we also can have that fear about Krishna. If I perform devotional service, chanting the holy name, trying to engage my senses in Krishna's service, will there come a time when I get tired of it? There shouldn't come that time, because bhakti is not ruled by time. Bhakti is outside the influence of time. That's why devotees have this sense of peace that even non-devotees can pick up on. When non-devotees come into a temple, into a devotee atmosphere, they perceive there's something unique. What they're perceiving is the lack of time influence. Devotional activities are beyond the influence of time. And just that realization alone gives people peace. There's something special about your people, your food, the way you do things, this, that. They don't know much about Krishna at first, but what they're immediately sensing is the lack of rule by the time factor. Now, sometimes our own devotees forget that bhakti yoga is outside of time. The whole material world is ruled by time, space, and thought. These are limitations. So, everything that goes on in the material cosmos is bound by these three things: time, space, and thought. Time limits, space limits, and your thinking power is limited. Now, bhakti yoga is something else, outside of all those things. Therefore, a devotee can feel great encouragement, knowing you have a lifetime of service ahead of you, and those service activities are outside the influence of time. That is a future. Otherwise, what kind of future is it? When you know whatever you do, whatever relationships you form, whatever goals you try to achieve, they're all under the influence of the time factor. That means the taste will go. I was telling devotees one true story about a very rich man in Chicago. And he's a multimillionaire. How did he make his fortune? A good business person can make a fortune doing anything. So he made his fortune by cornering the monopoly in Chicago on pizza dough. He had the monopoly on supplying restaurants and pizzerias with pizza dough. And he became a multimillionaire just doing that. A business person can do that. Anything. You can make money off anything. So he had his factory producing pizza dough, and he just got all the restaurants and pizzerias to order their dough from him. Because they said, why should we employ someone to make dough when we can just get it from you cheaper and say this is a lot of hassle? So he became a multimillionaire doing that. So now he's in his early 70s. And what is his consciousness? He lives in a palatial penthouse on top of a tall building. He's got everything he could ever want, anyone could ever want. The point is, you can get so much money that it becomes work how to spend it. That's known as being filthy rich. You've got so much money, it's a headache. How am I going to spend it? That's how wealthy he was. So you would think, this man must be so happy, right? Has whatever he wants. What was his main way of being happy? Well, money gets anything, so money gets relationships also. He always had young girls in their 20s with him. He would marry one young girl after another, 25, 30 years old. And he knew, they're marrying me for my money. He didn't mind. Yeah. And what was the girl thinking? I'll marry this old geezer, and after 2 years, I'll divorce him, and then he's got to, settle, and I'll get a chunk of his fortune. He knew they were thinking like that. He didn't mind. After all, young girl, 72-year-old man, I've got a 25-year-old wife. Great, So, he was so expert materially. What did he do? He told his accountant, look, the reality is, whoever I marry is going to divorce me after 2 years, these young girls. You budgeted in my expenses $2 million every 2 years for alimony payments. Yeah. He just ran off as an expense, So that's what his accountant did, He knew. Every 2 years, my boss is going to have to pay $2 million in alimony to a different girl after she divorces him. Okay. So the man, the 72-year-old man, just accepted. This is, this is the way the world works. Until He was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And then that really shook him. His money couldn't save him then. He was just totally distraught, totally deranged. Oh, no. He tried the best doctors, the best hospitals. No. Time in the form of disease came to take him away. So, after a life of being filthy rich and marrying a string of like 10 beautiful young girls and writing off their divorce expenses, $2 million at a hit, what is his conclusion now that he's 75 and looking death in the face? He said, "When I look back at my life now, I simply have regret." That is the nature of material existence. Even when you get what you want, you're not satisfied. He put his heart into all these passionate affairs, and at the end of life, he has nothing but regret. Now, a devotee who puts his or her heart into devotional service, you each year become sweeter in Krishna consciousness. Because each year, if you're performing devotional service properly, your heart goes deeper and deeper into it. And in fact, a devotee, if he's serving Krishna properly, he always looks back on the preceding year thinking, "I didn't know anything last year. How inexpert I was." Because devotional service is always expanding. So, you're always moving forward if you're serving properly. And so last year, you always think, "Oh, I didn't know anything. Oh, if I only knew what I knew now last year." It's very unique. Non-devotees can't do this. With every passing year, you look back and, "I learned so much. I'm so much of a better person now. How did I behave the way I did last year?" It'll go on and on like that, because a devotee is moving closer and closer to Krishna. That movement closer and closer to Krishna comes because your heart is in devotional service. Yes, you will make progress just by serving Krishna mechanically, but that won't get you the fulfillment that you're looking for. So please remember that. Our heart's fulfillment comes when the heart is fully invested in devotional service. This is what Krishna is watching for from within your heart. "When are you going to give that to me?" It already belongs to Krishna, but we're jealously guarding the inner recesses of our heart. "All right, Krishna, haven't I done enough for you? What more do you want out of my life?" "I believe in you. Isn't that enough?" You've all seen that verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, "Just believe in me." You found that verse? Anyone? No, it's not there. Krishna is always asking for action. And action with the heart in it. When that is there, you can understand Krishna and move forward in devotional service. So, are there any questions? Yes.
You were talking about how devotee year in and year out you do the same service and things don't change. But sometimes what you say, the image changes, so it's passionate.
That may be there, but I explain you have two realities. The realities of your material sense perception of a service and the spiritual reality of that service. So without going into whether someone should change their service or not, the fact is any devotional service is an activity of the spiritual world and it's ever fresh. That is my point. And if you beg Krishna to see it in that way, the Lord will reciprocate. You have to ask, though. A main mistake that devotees do is to take any service for granted. Just like a relationship that's grown old, familiarity. So you have to constantly beg the Lord, come before the deities in the morning and beg, "Give me the vision to see my service as the entrance to the spiritual world, as the spiritual world itself. Then Krishna will reciprocate. Then you'll start to see amazing things. Anything else? Do we have time, or?
I was going to say there's a lot of examples of devices that do the same service in our life. Whether it's a pujari or distributor or whatever, and obviously they must be getting new satisfaction, or else they wouldn't be able to keep going.
Yes, the twins in Mayapur, Janani Ras and Pankajanava, they just celebrated their 60th birthday. They've been pujaris for like practically 30 years. All right. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.